This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenblum.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the ninth floor but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and more to my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Welcome in. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage. Could it be anything but? Let's take roll, find out who's here. Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Albert Almora.
Damn, Willie, man, do we suck?
Pat Fitzgerald.
Sometimes you gotta embrace the suck.
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not gonna make anyway. You guys suck. Hey, when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Toby.
Oh my God, this sucks.
Random Bears fan.
And the further we do, we suck.
Terry Bores.
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liam Hendricks.
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that sucks.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck, I'll tell you that, and that's all I can say.
George Went.
We had fun, but there you go, I suck.
Garth Algar.
Turn it off, man, turn it off! It's sucking my will to live!
Steve Dahl.
Disco sucks. Disco sucks.
Cesar Perez.
Hello there, sir.
Hello there. Cesar, you ready to go? You ready to do this thing?
I'm ready to do it. Hopefully better afternoon than morning, yes.
Yes, well, it has to be. This is Saturday Suckage. We suck so nobody else has to. It's just we were on too late. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Our Tech Zone number is 312-644-6767. Brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. You just text us there. You can vent. You can do all that White Sox hate that you want. So let's get right to it. Tony LeBevington, he's allowed to make decisions. He's paid to make decisions. Guys who make decisions get fired for making bad decisions, for dumb decisions. And it seems as though there's a Matt Nagy-ness to what the interim White Sox manager does. Managing the players who are there, managing the pitchers who are there, managing the game that's there. Seems to be unaware of what's happening in front of him with his own players. And then when asked about it, you get the condescending or righteously indignant answers. And I can't figure out righteous indignation. Is that the first sound of someone who's failed, or is it the last act of someone like that? The interim Sox manager had this to say when asked about leaving Lucas Giolito in the game yesterday.
The process of watching Lucas and seeing
him. Did he get the first two outs out?
Right.
Did he pitch a hell of a game?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So he gets a big, gives a base hit, tough walk on 3-2, and I make a decision that he's earned the right to get that last out. He got him out the first time, second time at home run. That's the process. He's the guy that I thought earned it right to get that out, and I was confident he would.
Okay, the interim Sox manager made two decisions, one on Giolito, one on Joe Kelly. Both are wrong, both avoidable, both the kind the Sox, or at least the chairman of the Sox, the guy who hired this Sox manager and gelded his general manager in the meantime, they felt that wouldn't happen when not Ricky Renteria was in the dugout. But yet, here we are. So the interim Sox manager last night left in Giolito, despite numbers and command, you know, screaming no. Giolito's slugging percentage with two outs is .505. That's higher than at any point in an inning so far this year. His OPS with two outs is .860. Again, higher than at any point in an inning. You know, for a guy who couldn't scream loud enough and long enough about Trey Turner's batting average with two strikes, the interim Sox manager doesn't seem to realize how much worse Giolito is with two outs. And of course, there's the Giolito through the lineup the third time. That has a OPS of 1,075. And you heard him say it was the pitcher's, something like it was the pitcher's inning. He'd earned that right. He'd earned it. Well, it's not a pitcher's game. It is a team game. The team being the White Sox, that's the team in question. It's a team sport. This is not a Giolito showcase, not a Lance Lynn showcase. And then when you try to patch it together, and you bring in Joe Kelly, there's a guy who also should have earned the right to pitch in high-leverage spots, not get those high-leverage spots because money says so. Kelly had an ERA of 12.27 in his last four outings. That was before coming in Friday and giving up whatever the Tigers needed. The Tigers are managed by the guy that the gilded Rick Hahn apparently wanted to manage the team before the chairman stepped in and hired the guy who is currently the interim manager. So you're managing the team that's there, managing the players who are there, managing to underscore failure in the dugout, the clubhouse, the front office, and the ridiculous owner suite. That's where we are with the White Sox. That's where
you are with the White Sox as a White Sox fan. It's remarkable. I want to go back. We went back to Friday, and you saw how the manager who's paid to make decisions, and I'm all for the manager, interim or otherwise, making decisions. He's supposed to make decisions that are not Ricky Renteria decisions. They're supposed to be right. The players bear responsibility. Lucas Giolito, by and large, can't get out of an inning the third time around and after six innings. He's just not doing it. Tony La Russa wants to try to empower his pitchers, give it to them. Old school baseball, despite what new school numbers tell you, what are you watching? What are you hewing to? What are you adhering to? And when you're hired by the chairman, when your GM has been neutered, when it's this way, my way, the highway, and I'm going to be condescending and I'm going to be righteously indignant, I get to do what I want because nothing's going to happen to me. I have the Kevlar chairman sitting up there in the owner's suite. This is what you get. So I want you to go back about a month ago. This is when people might have still believed in the Sox. In fact, a lot of people did. They were surviving injury, surviving some idiot managing, surviving some bad roster construction. Okay, remember back then, it was noted by our guy Jay Kuda. Starting on June 10th, the White Sox had the easiest remaining schedule in all of Major League Baseball. Do you remember that? Much was said of that. Much was said of that on these airwaves by people associated with the White Sox and those commenting on them. Since June 10th, when the White Sox began a stretch of the rest of the season with the easiest remaining schedule in all of Major League Baseball, the interim White Sox manager's team has gone 12-14. 12-14 against a cupcake schedule. It leaves them with a 39-43 record this morning. That's worse than the Orioles, who have given up baseball for the moment. The Orioles now lead the White Sox in the wild card race. The Sox remain in third place. They've added a game to their deficit a month into this easiest remaining schedule. They're now six games behind a Twins team that, you know, they seem to address their needs, those Twins. What a crafty way to go about baseball. They seem to address their needs with a roster that seems to care enough to play smart, good baseball on offense, good baseball defensively. Perhaps their manager insists on it, none of which seems to be the case on the South side. And just to rub it in, make you even angrier, just to blow up our text zone line, 312-644-6767. The last day, the World Series or bust White Sox were in first place in baseball's weakest division was April 20th. That's almost 3 months ago. That also came after the only winning homestand the White Sox have had all season. And today, they are on the verge of tying their mark for the most games under 500, this World Series or bust team. That's where you are. That's where we are. And when they play the Detroit Tigers, managed by A.J. Hinch, the man Rick Hahn seemingly wanted, and not the guy he got, not the guy who's forced him to place his decision-making in a blind trust. Here's your White Sox lineup today. Leading off, shortstop Tim Anderson. Maybe he's learned to slide between last night and today. Your DH, batting second, Andrew Vaughn. So he was barely healthy enough to bat, pinch hit yesterday. We're not sure what's going on with him exactly. And he's DHing. Okay. Louis Robert batting third, playing center. Jose Abreu at first base, batting cleanup. Gavin Sheets in right field, batting fifth. Yoan Moncada. Wow. Batting sixth. Sebby Zavala batting seventh. Leury Garcia batting eighth, playing left field. Josh Harrison batting ninth, playing second base. For the record, Leury Garcia, the teacher's pet, the manager's pet, the White Sox are 20-32 when he starts. The good news is Johnny Cueto goes. Johnny Cueto has been here 20 minutes and has the team lead in quality starts. It's an amazing thing what these players have done. It's an amazing thing what this manager has done. It's an amazing thing what the chairman has done and the roster construction. It's World Series or bust. And as you're looking at it now, a month into the league's easiest schedule since June 10th, they're two games under 500. They've lost a game to the first place team. They seem to be worse on the bases. They seem to be worse defensively. They seem to be worse when it comes to getting their offense going. So this is quite the epic failure by a franchise, top to bottom, organizationally. Your 2022 White Sox, ladies and gentlemen. That's why Saturday Suckage exists. You can vent. We are trying to suck so they don't have to, but this is all world stuff. This is the most unfortunate thing. Your Chicago White Sox. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage. We'll talk to somebody, take a break and talk to somebody who covers the White Sox and see how much covering of his eyes he's doing. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
In the air to right field. Castro back at the track. He makes the catch. And the Tigers again skate away with a walk-off chance for the Sox going by the boards in the ninth.
Steve Rosenblum. It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Jason Minetti, Chicago. Yeah, and there you're talking about NBC Sports Chicago, talking about the White Sox failing again. Sounds like Saturday Suckage to me. Welcome in, welcome back. We're going to go to the Score Hotline. Guests join us on the Score Hotline. It's presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Joining me now, covered the White Sox for 20 years, MLB.com, Scott Merkin, fresh off a Tony La Russa press conference, pregame stuff, all the news that's fit to print. So condescending or righteously indignant, or how was the manager, Scott, and what did he have to say?
Well, you know, first of all, starting 20 years I've covered him. You knew me in my previous job. So I started at age 18, of course. So let's put that out there.
I thought it was 16, and you had a work permit that mom had to sign.
That's right. Mom drove me back and forth to the newsroom, and that was it. No, he was good. I think one of the things that manifests itself sometimes in the post game when he, you know, looks like what you just said is I really do think he takes these losses so hard. And I get that no one really wants to hear it. They just want wins, right? They don't want to hear that he's upset about it or he, you know, views every day as such an important game. But I really do think, I watch him walking back and forth from his office and he just, you know, really is a different person versus when they lose and when they win. Now, I guess that can be said for everyone, right? No one, even in 162 game seasons, you're going to lose, what, 62 times, even if you're a great team. Maybe not the Yankees this year, but I mean, I think that's what kind of, I think it's kind of like a transferal of anger, you know, that he's kind of upset about the game, and that kind of shows through on some of those post games.
My guest is Scott Merkin, MLB.com, talking White Sox here on The Score, Steve Rosenblum and Saturday Suckage. So Andrew Vaughn, he's healthy enough to DH for whatever number of at bats, but Eloy Jimenez isn't. So explain that lineup. What did the manager say about the lineup he has today against the Tigers?
Well, he did. You know, he's pretty clear with us on this. That Vaughn, he said, was under the weather. He just that's all he gave us was that he wasn't feeling well. But he did say yesterday that he was, you know, available. He was in uniform and available to pinch hit last night. which he did in the eighth as the go-ahead run, and, you know, Alexander struck him out. And today, you know, this is one of those days they were going to give a rest to Jimenez. You know, he just came back, and they just weren't going to play him, you know, every single day. Obviously, there's got to be a little bit of a break here and there. So the day game after the night game was a good idea in that sense. So, you know, I'm sure he'll be available to pinch hit today, but he's just not starting.
Johnny Cueto's been here 20 minutes, and he has the most quality starts of any Sox pitcher. It's just, it's an amazing thing. He seems to be the right guy to go today, and I don't know if there's any kind of advantage the Sox now have with him going, or if is he the right guy? Because this seems really desperate. You swept the Tigers in Detroit. Some people thought this would be the jump start, but this Sox team has regularly just squatted all over the idea that anything could jump start them. And I don't know if there's, you know, a whiff of desperation. Do you sense it from these players? Or the manager, or that there's something that they're letting an opportunity with this homestand, games against the Central, they are messing this up in a big way, and that kind of panic and pressure tends to show in different ways, or maybe you don't see it at all, Scott.
Well, I guess you kind of look at it as a cup half full, half empty, or has it spilled already, I guess, right? I think it's an old Mike Royko line. But, you know, the half empty is that, yeah, they need to start winning. They need to start winning at home, especially. This is a team that was 71-40 the last two seasons, which was the best home record in the AL over those 2 years. And I believe they're 17-25 this year. One of the reasons is they're not hitting a lot of home runs at home. But, I mean, there really isn't a set explanation on why that is. But you're right. You know, there's been a number of moments, including a very good series where they swept a decent San Francisco team over the weekend, where people have pointed to, okay, this is the turning point. You know, and you pointed to that Detroit series where they swept Detroit, and Moncada had five hits in his last game, or in the last game of that series, they won, I think, 13-0 or 13-1 or whatever it was, and it just hasn't made, you know, that move to the next level. Now, on the flip side, you know, they're struggling, but there is now one team over 500 in the entire AL Central, and that's the Minnesota Twins. So you can say, yeah, geez, if they would have, you know, been decent at home, they'd be either right there, you know, with the Twins for first place or in first place. But on the flip side, you can say, okay, you know, they're not playing good baseball overall. You know, I mean, they're 39-43, I believe. So they still have 80 games left, and they're six behind the Twins. They finished the season with 6 of 9 games against the Twins. It sounds like an excuse, but it really isn't. I mean, it really is the fact that, you know, they're not chasing the Yankees, who are 34 games or 35 games over 500. They're chasing the Twins, who are, you know, six games ahead of them, and they get the Guardians for 4 next week in Cleveland, and then 4 against the Twins. So I think we'll know a little bit more at the All-Star break, and then they have 4 more against Cleveland right after the All-Star break. So at that point, which will be, you know, coming close to the August 2nd trade deadline, you have a little bit better idea of where they stand.
Scott Merkin is my guest, MLB.com. He covers the White Sox. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. So after they lost 2-1 on Thursday, the quote from A.J. Pollock was, honestly, it's hard to explain. It's not really our job to explain it. We've got to go out there and we've got to fix stuff. You hope that it turns. We had a good day Wednesday, and it feels like a letdown today. You just got to keep working. So on NBC Sports Chicago, Frank Thomas talked about a clubhouse, too lovey-dovey with each other. They love each other, but they don't challenge each other, which is a pretty interesting take from a guy who was regularly the target of, you know, Ozzie Guillen or Paul Konerko, and that kind of, coming from a guy like that, do you agree that these players are not challenging themselves? Do you see anything that tells you one way or another?
No, I mean, did that change from last year where they were, you know, 90? Now, again, granted, the roster is a little different from last year, but, I mean, they were 93-69 last year and won the division going away. You know, they basically clinched that thing in, like, August, not officially, but they did. So I don't know. Yeah. I just think, you know, there's also, you know, I hear a lot about how they lack energy. They don't look like, you know, they're playing hard, which is not true. And I think that's just what happens when you're not hitting consistently. You know, yesterday they start the game against Skubal, who's a very good pitcher, very talented pitcher. they get the, you know, the two-run, 445-foot home run from Luis Robert, and then don't score again until the eighth inning. You know, so, and then because of that, Detroit comes back. There's a couple of misplays in the field. They, you know, they rally and they take the big lead. They're up 7-2. But I think that's just what happens when you're not getting consistent offensive production from a lineup that is very talented and should do that. You know, and another thing that sounds a little like an, well, it sounds like an excuse, but again, it's fact, is that they've had a lot of guys hurt. You know, Jimenez is back now. Grandal homered last night in his injury rehab at Birmingham. So you're getting these guys healthy. But, you know, again, eventually, you know, it's not going to be early. Eventually, they're not going to be hurt. And eventually, they're just going to have to go out and win consistently to take charge of the, if they want to take charge of the AL Central.
Well, it's the only division they can take charge of, so I would suggest they do that.
You know, they could still chase down one of those wild cards, too, I suppose. And, you know, a team like Toronto is suddenly – I mean, there's a lot of options there, but the bottom line is you got to, you know, just play more consistently and win, right, to fulfill any of the options.
Put yourself in position to do that. One way to do that, we've seen opponents make phenomenal defensive plays against the White Sox. We've seen the White Sox – have trouble defensively, and now even Luis Robert, you're not sure. And then on the bases, just some bonehead, that 8-5 triple play, never happened in baseball before. And here's what bothers me, is if the manager that the chairman insisted on hiring to the point of gelding the general manager was so good, why have they not gotten better defensively and on the bases in the thinking part of the game? Why hasn't he demanded that? But they've gotten worse, which, true or not, it makes me think he doesn't care. He doesn't address it, or he doesn't know how to address it. This is maddening. It's aggravating. It's on the players as much as it's on the manager, but somebody with authority has to say, has to do something about it. And yet it just keeps getting worse. It's maddening to see this kind of baseball being played so badly from a team that keeps saying World Series or bust. Can you explain it? Do you know can you explain the dynamics involved?
Yeah, I think, you know, I can explain what I know, and I know they do address it. I know they worked hard on it in spring training, and it's just not been a good year. I mean, you know, let's face it, they haven't been a dominant defensive team for a couple years, but I think it's, you know, I hear a lot about accountability, and a guy makes a mistake or a mental mistake in the field, and you got to, you know, bench him or, you know, whatever. But number one, that doesn't make sense in practicality, because your roster is not 50 people, you know, you have 26-man roster. So, and number two, you want your best guys out there. So this stuff is all talked about. It's not like something happens and, you know, they let the guys, you know, they pat him on the back and say, go get him next time. It's addressed. It's addressed, you know, in the dugout, it's addressed in the clubhouse, and guys want to be better. Guys want to make the plays and want to, you know, not make the mistakes on the base pass. It's just kind of happened that way this year. So, again, I think it's on everyone, you know, from, you know, the front office right on down to the players. But this is not, you know, American Legion, right? This is not Pony League. I mean, this is not an instructional thing. Sure, you know, they do, the coaches do work hard, and you've heard some pitchers and, you know, position players talking about, you know, things they've done with the coaches to get back on track or to improve. So it's there, and they do work with them. But ultimately, it's on the players, right? They got to make the play. They got to, you know, make the right decision on the base pass. And that hasn't happened consistently enough for the White Sox this year.
Yeah, they have to put themselves in position to win. They have to put each other in a position. I mean, Frank's right about challenging Frank Thomas, when he said it the other night about challenging.
Oh, yeah, I would trust Frank. Frank knows baseball. But I do think it's there. I think, and I'm not talking about Frank. I'm just talking about in general. I get fans' consternation. Trust me, I understand that. But I do think it's there, and I don't think that the look that fans perceive sometimes is the accurate look. It's just the fact is, you know, when you don't hit, when you score two runs in the first and then don't score again until the, I mean, this crowd was crazy last night. It was a pop like I haven't heard in a long time when Vaughn came out to pinch hit in that eighth inning. And it just goes to show you the excitement it brings when they get a consistent rally going, and they just haven't had enough of those this year.
You know, one of the things that they've had more players thrown out at home plate than any team in the league. And, you know, crazy Joe McEwing down there and the auto sends and everything that goes on with that. And the thing that, you see them trying to be aggressive, and they're trying to be aggressive, and yet they still have, they give off this vibe of being a dead team. it's more remarkable in the face of trying to do things like that, score that run, to how can you be dead and still do that? And I trying to, you know, left brain, right brain kind of thing, it doesn't make, I can't connect the dots. And yet for them to be feel dead, or the way it appears to me, do they appear that way to you? Does it seem like they tried to be aggressive, it didn't work, now they're back to being crappy? I don't know how to process this. You got any ideas? You got any help?
No, I mean, I think Joe's a really good coach. I think Joe is the guy, if you ask Tim Anderson, who has really helped him get to the level where he's at. Tim's helped himself, obviously, quite a bit, but, you know, Joe has worked extensively with Tim over the years, too. I think you got to take the chances sometimes. You got to, you know, judge the situation, judge the arms in the outfield, and like we've said, you know, when they're not hitting, be a little more aggressive. But yeah, again, just going back, I would argue the no energy team. The energy is there. It's just, you know, it's tough. It's tough when you're a team that's, you know, like you said, a lot of, you know, trying for a third straight playoff appearance, trying for a second straight division title, and you're sitting at 39-43 in third place, you know, closer to fourth place than you are first place right now. And that's a difficult situation. So, yeah, I don't think they're going to be doing cartwheels over that, but the energy is there and the work is there. And just sometimes it doesn't look like that when you're losing and not hitting and making some mistakes on the field.
How do you size up their bullpen for me? How confident do you feel about it and why?
Well, I asked Tony yesterday about, you know, when Liam can go back to back. And I think that's this weekend, and that's a huge thing to have him set up. And I think Joe Kelly, after the last injury he had, is still, he talked to us the other night. It was after the game against Minnesota, where he said, you know, he's still kind of searching for his feel, kind of searching for his mechanics. And I think he'll be fine once he gets that. So, I mean, you have Kelly, Graveman, and Hendricks down there. And then when you get Bummer healthy, it's still a good group. You know, I like that bullpen. I've liked that they invested a lot of money in that bullpen. And it's because, you know, one of the reasons is the playoffs is a bullpen-based game, right? You don't see a lot of starters going. I mean, you'll never see what happened in the 05 ALCS again, where you had four straight complete games. You may not even see one complete game in the playoffs at this point. So it's important to have that group. But I think it's a deep and talented group. It's just, again, you got to get everyone healthy, and then you can get people in line as to what you need down there. And they've gotten contributions from other younger guys. Ruiz has been... Excuse me, had a big inning the other day. Tanner Banks has been good since he came up. And, you know, Jimmy Lambert's done a nice job. So I think they have a good mix down there. I really do like that bullpen.
Joe Kelly has to stop sucking. You can't have a 13.5 ERA in your last five outings, counting last night. Tony brought him in like he was going to be the answer when he had a 12.27 ERA in the previous four games. It's just, you can't do that. And I think for our purposes in the media, we need Joe Kelly to be good because he's wonderful, quotable.
He is, yes.
Same with Liam Hendricks. Be good, be wonderful. We root for quotes. We root for quotable guys. We root for stories. We need those guys not to suck, right?
A lot of good quotable. Like, you know, one of the guys on the team who does interviews through an interpreter, Billy Russo, who does a great job here. Jose Abreu, tremendous quote. And even with the interpreter, you always get the feel of what he's saying. And there's a lot of really good quotes, but you're right. Hendricks and Kelly are up near the top of that list. And yes, I'm sure people who are listening out there are kind of like, yeah, we really don't care who's a good quote. We just want them to play well and win games. But for our purpose, you're right. Excellent quotes are good to be at the forefront.
I'm looking for some salve when they suck, and I think good quotes or at least entertain me before it starts bleeding again. So that's what I'm looking for. I realize I'm grasping at straws, but that's where I am. Scott, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Sure, Steve. Take care.
All right. Scott Merkin, MLB.com. Cover the White Sox for 20 years. That's a painful thing. That's a painful thing this year. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, I have something for you. I have something that should happen, but won't. Now, that sounds like I'm describing Tony LeBevington's firing, but I'm not. I found an interesting idea, and I'll run it by you. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Steve Rosenblum, it's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Dang right. Welcome in, welcome back. You are listening to The Score.
And we wanted to invite you to the Score's 30th anniversary live broadcast on July 20th at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. The all-day event will be a great celebration with listeners, current and former teammates, clients, and hopefully all of you, all you fans out there, all you listeners, texters, callers, lurkers, whatever you are. This is the Score's 30th anniversary live broadcast, 6A to 6P. Is that right, Caesar? 6 in the morning till 6 at night? Is that how it's going to work?
Yep, all day. July, we're going to be 20th. There all day on the 20th.
There you go. There you go. That's the Score. 30 years of talking sports and being real with you. Live broadcast July 20th. Real-time sports in Elk Grove Village. So it's a celebration. Come join the celebration, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. For fans, I came across this. Dan Neiman of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch had what he called a modest proposal for a more fair and equitable form of dynamic pricing. Now, it goes by many names: dynamic pricing, variable pricing. In other terms, it's jacking up the price of the good games or the good days. So if you want to see a game on Saturday, say in the White Sox case, all the teams do this, White Sox case, well, the A's aren't really good, but they're playing on a Friday, so we're going to jack up that's a more expensive ticket. But if it's the Orioles and it's Tuesday, you can get in cheaper. Cubs started doing this. Hey, you want to come here? June, July, August? They're all big prices. Weekends, especially big prices. You know, the Hawks do this too. You want to see Detroit? Well, you Red Wings fans are going to come down back when they used to do that. You're going to pay more money and buy up all the seats in the United Center. So all these teams do it. Variable pricing, dynamic pricing, premium pricing. It goes by different names. Dan Neiman of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch had an idea that I think you fans will love. I would like to hear if you don't, because this would be remarkable. He said, I think pricing should be determined by the game's outcome. You pay as you leave the stadium. Now, that's my idea of variable pricing. You pay for the entertainment value. Because when you pay a premium price, when teams set a premium price, it's Sox, Tigers, Saturday. In July, that's a division game. And they're doing this before we know who's going to suck and who's not. And you're making a bet. You're making a bet that the weather will be good enough to attend. You're making a bet that your team is going to be good enough to make this game matter. You're making a bet way ahead of time that this is going to be a good game. Would you have done that last night? Wouldn't you have wanted some money back last night? I love this idea that you pay on the way out. What was it worth? And I know there's a lot of details there. I know there's a lot of problems with assessing something as subjective as what's good, what's not, what's entertainment, what's not. It's the qualitative and quantitative are different parts of this, and I get that. But I love the idea of teams for you pay X number of dollars to get, or you get in and you're on the hook for $20, whatever that seat is.
Hey Steve, right, one of our texters checking in from 815. He says, "How about paying based on winning percentage?" I like that one. How about you pay that day on how good the team is doing at that present time? Doesn't that sound pretty good too?
That's a thought, Caesar. That's a thought, which speaks to what you're looking for. You want to get entertainment. Winning is part of the entertainment, but as an 847 texter points out, yesterday was still entertaining. Part of it was early on. I mean, the Sox suck in early innings. They can't score. They're going to give up runs. They're awful early. And then they get a bunch of hits, but they can't score late. I mean, they're really the worst of all possible worlds. And the record for a World Series or bust team reflects it. So it was, in a lot of ways, entertaining. And then your
Hall of Failure baseball manager was managing, and he decided that the pitcher had earned the right to do this with two outs, even though he's bad with two outs, and he's bad the third time through the lineup. And the manager, who has weaponized metrics for what he wants, and when it's convenient, seems to ignore them when he gets his backside slapped. It's an embarrassing thing. And maybe you shouldn't have to pay for that much when the manager looks dumb. I mean, think about that. If it were the case that you only had to pay on the way out the value of the entertainment that you got, then the team would have to give you back money. So let's connect the dots. You pay $20, the Sox only gave you by whatever was described as $10 worth of entertainment. They lost. That's a big, under 500, like the texter said. Okay, well, they fall further under 500, so that costs them even more money. Team has to give you back money. Well, then where's the team going to get the money? Well, you're going to start docking players. You're going to start docking the manager. You're going to start docking the coaches. Hey, stupid base running. Who's your base running coaches? We're taking money out of your paycheck. And the player, the guy who can't seem to run the bases well? I mean, you know that 8-5 triple play? Like, all the Sox involved in that play would have to give up a month's worth of checks. That's how bad it was.
You talk about players wanting to play on winning teams. You put that in place and see how many people want to play on winning teams.
Right. Now, yeah, Chairman Reinsdorf is a big proponent of pay for performance. And I'm a big proponent of income for performance. Your franchise, your team sucks. And it's a franchise-wide suckage, Chairman Reinsdorf, from the owner's suite all the way down to the clubhouse. Front office, the manager, players, and the owner. And so you should be giving money back. And the Cubs and Sox have, to a certain degree, the Cubs and Hawks, the debauched Hawks, the depraved Hawks, have cut certain prices. And then you can make statistics say whatever you want. There's a chance you could pay less money than before, but not nearly. If you're a Hawks fan, first of all, I don't understand how you could be a Hawks fan with such a sick, depraved organization and a guy at the top of that organization who still doesn't understand why he's going to be asked about how sick and depraved they were in the name of winning a Stanley Cup and then winning two and winning three. And they doesn't understand why he should get those questions asked. And it just shows that whatever steps the Hawks have taken did not take. There's no credibility to whatever steps the Hawks have taken. It's really hard to be a Hawks fan. You have to be, I guess, sick and depraved to be a Hawks fan right now. And now they're gone out of their way to be bad. They're gone out of their way to be the worst team in hockey, or one of the three worst teams, because next year you want one of the three top three picks where you can get a franchise player. They've made sure they could run Kane out of town. Taves really hasn't been much of a player for a couple years now. So anything you pay for a Hawks ticket, right, should be less than, it's still too much. So you see a lot of this reflected in this secondary market. It's between weekdays, availability, nobody wants to go. Fans aren't interested. 312 texter, 5 tickets in left center for the Sox cost me $54 total, and I imagine they will drop to $4 or $5 a ticket soon. Right. That's one way that this market works, but I love the idea that you pay on the way out. The one hammer a manager or coach has over players is playing time. And the lifeblood of a franchise is the number one rule in life, follow the money. If money's going out, players will be forced to get better. The dithering White Sox front office that didn't want to address second base, didn't want to address left-handed hitting, well, you didn't fill your holes. Well, then you should have to pay for that. Fans shouldn't have to pay for your failures. If you fail, you've provided a bad performance. You should not get money for that. You should be refunding money for miserable performances. So this idea from Dan Neiman of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, I just love that. 708 texter asks an interesting question given the number of, given the way certain fan bases travel. What would you charge someone wearing a Tiger cap? He was quite entertained. He gets to enjoy it. He shouldn't be enjoying it at the expense of the local team, but the fact that the local team, especially if this guy was wearing a Javi Baez Tigers jersey, wouldn't that have been great? Here, you get money back. You know what? You've earned it. On whatever today is, today's Friday, Javi is having himself a game. He's wanting it to rain down on him. You get money back too, because the White Sox, as a courteous host would say, I'm embarrassed.
I don't understand all the hate for Javi, by the way, going on, and why the Sox fans, I really don't get it. What is with that? Why is so much hate for Javi? I don't understand that.
It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to make sense. It just is. It's like, well, he's a former Cub, so we must hate him. Oh, he's doing this stuff to us, so we must hate him. I don't know. You know what? Amir Garrett, that's about it. And that's who hates Javi. That's who should be booing Javi. I don't know. You pay your money, you can boo who you want, cheer who you want. 847 texter says, in Brazil, they have a similar type of payment at clubs, but that is to keep the employees from handling money. You pay for a punch card, and the employees punch out holes and amounts you then settle up when you leave. Yeah, you're sort of running a tab. Okay. However you do that, I love the idea that when you suck, you have to give money back to the fan base. Because giving the fans a manager who's righteously indignant, who's weaponizing metrics, weaponizing the modern game for his own purpose, and then completely ignoring metrics that tell you that Lucas Giolito sucks the third time through the lineup and sucks after with two outs, his OPS sucks when there's two outs in an inning, the worst of any out situation, and you just ignore that. Oh, it's his inning. He's a man. It's his inning. He's a pitcher. He's my guy. All right. It's just embarrassing. You should have to pay for that. All right. Speaking of paying for it, we wonder what the Bears are going to pay. We wonder if the Bears are ever going to show up. They have become a criminal element. We're going to talk to Mark Potash of the Sun-Times about the Bears, and Mark may have inadvertently created a revenue stream himself, as long as we're talking money. We'll talk money with Mark Potash, because Mark Potash is money. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thanks for listening to Saturday Suck at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.